Mar Vista Entertainment. Cartel. Mar Vista Entertainment and Cartel Pictures present a sepia-tinged shot of a little boy spying through a crack in an open door. He's watching a couple of teenagers make out in the laundry room of a house. The blonde girl sits on the washing machine as she kisses her boyfriend.
He's home. Get off.
Out of my way, kid. What's going on? Huh?
Watching mommy.
Suzanne's not your mommy. She's your babysitter. I just got called back into work. Stay a couple more hours.
Okay, yeah. Promise you won't leave me, Susie?
She takes off a ring and gives it to him.
I promise.
The little boy smiles and the picture fades to black. The title, Killer Assistant. A couple are in bed kissing. The woman has tousled blonde hair.
Baby, I have to go to work.
No.
Yes. Come on.
No. Yeah. Come on, please stay.
I can't. I gotta go.
Fine. Are you sure?
Yes. Sure. And what are you doing today?
Well, I don't know. Probably work on a new song.
The man settles down for a nap with his hands behind his head, revealing a guitar tattoo running down his inner forearm. Later, he's up.
Robert, I gotta go. Bye.
Hey, babe, can you make it to the gig tonight?
I'm gonna try, yes.
Mom, I gotta go to school.
And I gotta get her to school. Bye.
Have a good day, ladies.
You too.
No, actually, it's not okay. The anniversary edition cover story should have been decided by now, and I really need that PDF compiled for everybody's references immediately, okay? Can we do that? Thank you. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Why are you being so crazy?
Moron. I'm not. Honey, it wasn't my fault.
Just pull over here. I'll walk with Dougie.
Baby, I'm sorry. I don't want you to walk with Dougie.
I'll be safer that way.
Sweetheart, wait. Please, I'm sorry. Oh, my God.
A boy puts his arm around the daughter.
Oh, I hate that kid.
Aerial shots of the Bay Bridge in San Francisco and San Francisco Bay. The woman arrives at the warehouse-style offices of a magazine. There's an elegant double-height lobby with large industrial windows and the word Style Harmony magazine written on the wall.
Suzanne? A word?
Sure.
As you know, you're highly valued here. I think that you're Harmony's top asset. Thank you.
You're getting an assistant.
Excuse me?
I've accepted your unwillingness to work alongside a co-managing editor since you took this role 5 years ago, but it's time for you to step into the real world.
All leaders delegate. Thank you, but I really have no need for an assistant.
Suzanne, your stress levels have concerned me lately. Janet,
I appreciate the gesture.
It's not a gesture. I've already hired somebody. His name is David Barinas, and he is a former assistant to the editor of Health and Vitality magazine. As everybody knows, that woman is near impossible when it comes to her standards of who she'll work with. She wrote him a glowing reference. He approached me last week. We should be thrilled to have him on board, working with our magazine.
Wow, I don't know what to say. I mean, can I at least have some time to think about it?
Oh, David!
Hello.
David Barinas, Suzanne Austin.
Pleased to meet you.
Pleasure's all mine.
I'll leave you to it.
Handsome, dark-haired David smiles.
Well, great. Before we get started, I would like to introduce you all to my new assistant. Do not be shocked. David Barinas. Mary.
Charles.
Ian.
Nice to meet you guys.
As you know, this edition marks Style Harmony's 50th anniversary, and I need each and every one of you to step up to the plate on this one, okay? It is essential that we accelerate our social media game and amp up our online interaction and really get our readers involved. Oh, plus, I want them to get a copy of this as soon as it hits the shelves. Understood? And by the end of the day, Mary will have compiled a PDF of every single cover in history for your reference.
It's already done. Oh, sorry to interrupt. When I was preparing for the job, I compiled that as my research.
Great. Well, then that saves you some time.
We transfer it to everybody.
Perfect. Well, I guess that's it for now. Oh, and please keep brainstorming cover story ideas for the next meeting. And I have yet to hear anything exciting enough for our feature. And it has to be truly mind-blowing. Mind-blowing. Please. Thank you. Goodbye.
Arthur L. Carter, Journalism Institute, NYU.
And how did you find studying under Professor...
Welkerson? No, he's a difficult man, but I was granted the highest honors he's given out in over a decade.
And that was class of...
2013. Hmm. Full-time study, accompanied by a part-time internship at Health and Vitality, along with heading the NYU local, where my job was to ensure a 7 a.m. publication each weekday. I will be available day and night. I'm very dedicated to learning from you, Ms. Austin, along with climbing the ladder here at Style Harmony. I will do absolutely anything.
Welcome aboard, David.
Thank you.
And it's Mrs. Austin.
Suzanne walks off and David grins to himself. Later, he's at his desk when his phone rings.
Suzanne Austin's office.
Hi, this is Callista, Suzanne's daughter.
Callista, hello. I'm your mother's new assistant, David. She's actually in a meeting right now, but I'd be happy to take a message.
Yeah, can you just tell her that I don't need to be picked up? I'm gonna hang out at the Red Hen coffee shop. I'll be home later.
All right, I will pass that message right along. It was a pleasure to phone meet you, Callista. You have a good day.
Thanks, bye.
Any calls?
One, Callista. She's going to her regular cafe after school and doesn't need you to pick her up.
Oh, okay.
Your daughter must be so proud of you. She's got a great role model. Mm. Must be one big power family, huh? What does her husband do?
He's a musician. Excuse me, I have some errands to run on my way home. Good job today.
Thank you. I'll see you tomorrow.
David looks smug as he types on his computer. Finishing, he folds his hands in front of his face. He's written on a website called The Snark, and the name of the article is How to Nail Your First Day at Your New Job. Meanwhile, Mary, Charles, and Ian are in the break room discussing David.
I mean, can you believe that guy? Who compiles a PDF of all magazine covers for research?
Yeah, he's definitely a little eager. But damn, he's fine.
Okay, good looking or not, there is definitely something weird about him.
Yeah, but you think there's something weird about everybody.
Yeah, most people suck. That's why I don't like many people. I'm gonna see what I can find.
What exactly are you even looking for?
I want to know his blood type, the name of his first pet that died, his mother's shoe size.
And she wonders why she's still single.
Hey, what was his last name again?
Whose last name?
Yours, actually. I was gonna friend you online.
I'm not really into social media. Huge waste of time, if you ask me.
Seriously. So, where are you from?
Greendale, in New York.
Oh, no way. I'm from Pillsford, like three towns over. Oh. What part of Greendale?
Right by the park.
Oh, which park?
The one with the skate ramp.
Huh. I don't remember there being a skate ramp in Greendale.
Well, there was one. I really have to get back to Suzanne.
Yeah, of course. Oh, hey, you know, a bunch of us are staying late to brainstorm some ideas for the cover story. You want to join?
I would. Thank you for the invite, but I already made plans.
Mm. Of course.
Suzanne gets home to an empty apartment.
Damn it.
Robert, Callista, and Doug come crashing in.
amazing.
They went wild for you when you played Susie's eyes.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, babe.
Oh, I'm so sorry I got tied up.
No, don't worry about it. I understand.
Hi, Calista. Douglas, how are you staying for a while?
Mommy was just leaving God.
Later, babe.
Bye.
Roberto, bring me next time, yeah?
Thanks, dude. Appreciate you coming.
All right, Mrs. A. See you later, all right?
Good night, Douglas.
Mrs. A.
Hey, honey, how was your night?
Yep, okay.
Seriously, why is he here? Why was he here? What in the heck are you thinking?
He just came to my gig with Calista. Come on, think back to how we were at their age.
Yeah, but baby, where are the adults making the rules now?
Yeah, but they'll just do it behind our backs if we don't let them, right?
Well, I don't want to encourage or help them. Do you really want your daughter getting pregnant with some deadbeat loser's baby?
I know what you're saying, but please try and relax. And remember what the doctor said. Breathe deeply from the diaphragm. And I don't know, maybe it's time to start seeing the therapist again. Calista told me that you had a little bit of road rage, driving, yelling at somebody on the road. And it really scared her.
I know, this work's really hectic right now, but I got a new assistant. So that should make things a lot easier for us.
That's great. That means we'll get to see more of you, right?
Yeah.
An assistant? Wow, I never thought I'd see the day.
I know, but you know, he's hardworking and ambitious. A little overly confident, maybe, but it's good.
Sounds like it might be a good thing in the editorial world.
I need a drink.
Yes.
Later. Suzanne digs through Calista's bedroom chest of drawers, discovering a bag of weed. She confronts her daughter with it.
What's this?
It's Dougie's.
And what's it doing in your room?
I was taking care of it for him, which is none of your business.
Actually, it is my business because this is my house and you are my teenage daughter. Honey, he's no good for you. He's using you. You shouldn't let him push you around.
You'd know all about that, wouldn't you?
Watch your tone.
You're such a hypocrite. I mean, look at you and Dad. You guys are constantly fighting, and you still stay with him?
That's enough, Calista.
You're never even here anyway, so I'm pretty sure you lost the right to judge my life.
Douglas is banned from this house.
Fine. I don't have to be in this house to see him.
Calista looks at her mother defiantly. Suzanne works out with a punch bag, kicking and punching aggressively. As night falls, Mary, Charles, and Ian are still in the office having a late-night brainstorming session. Mary eats pizza and the others look uninspired.
How about a piece on the cost of looking good that details how much the average person spends on beauty maintenance?
That could be interesting.
I'm pretty sure someone else did that a few issues ago.
So we do it better.
Oh.
I swear one of us had better get a promotion for all the overtime we've been putting in.
Yeah, and it better be me. I'm the one who's been slaving away here the longest.
I don't know, Mary. Suzanne's new assistant may have you beat. After that PDF stuff today, you never know what that cat's got up his sleeve.
Okay, seriously, who does that?
Oh, great. Way to bring it up again, Charles. She already wants to launch an FBI investigation on the guy.
I just know a rat when I smell one.
Or someone's feeling a little butthurt for getting owned in front of the whole team today.
Correct.
Whatever. All right, I'm calling it a night.
What we don't?
I got some cyber stalking to do.
Oh, all right? God. She ain't kidding.
He's not my squad.
Bye.
A tall, shadowy figure stands in the parking lot as Mary walks to her car, talking on the phone to her mom.
Yeah, Mom, I'm eating enough. You ask me that every day. Listen, I'm on my home. I'll call you when I get there. Love you. Bye.
She senses someone nearby.
Hello?
Someone crouches behind a car with a knife. She shrugs, and the figure lunges forward. As she bends to get into her car, she's stabbed in the leg.
Mary,
are you all right? You okay?
My leg.
What happened?
My leg. Oh,
hold on.
911, what's your emergency, please?
Yeah, I need an ambulance. Yeah, there's a lot of blood. I don't know. What's it?
We're treating this as an assault. Slashing the Achilles points to an intent to cause grievous bodily harm. But what we're trying to determine is whether the attack was at random, if it was a sexual assault that was thwarted, or if it was calculated.
Calculated meaning?
Meaning that the attacker could have been somebody that Mary knew. Does she have any enemies that you know about?
I mean, no one that I know of at work, but I can't speak for her personal life.
Okay, great, okay. Well, we'll be in touch.
Thank you, Detective.
Thank you. As you know, Mary was attacked in the parking lot last night. But she's in the hospital in stable condition. She's gonna be fine.
Oh my God, this is so crazy.
Now, we've been speaking with detectives, and they're 100% committed in catching whoever did this to her. But in the meantime, I want you all to be very careful at night and report anything that looks suspicious immediately.
So, apologies for our brevity, but we've got to get our cover story firm, and we've got to do that today. So, what have you got for us?
How about Insta-famous? Sophia Reeves' rise to model stardom via Instagram.
That's not a big enough name.
All right, how about Liv Daly, the new queen of funny?
No, she was on our September cover last year.
I have a lead on a former Real Housewife of Miami, like season one. I know she'd be up for a life after reality TV piece.
No reality, please. Substance, you guys.
What about Nora Padders?
That girl's a bigger mess than Lindsay Lohan, circa 2007.
Well, she just got released from prison for her stint of drunk driving and hitting a pedestrian, and I actually already reached out to her reps via my personal contacts, and I mean, I'm pretty confident that I can get us an exclusive interview.
But Suzanne just said substance only.
Sure, in the public eye, that's a common line, but I mean, I feel like there's something inherently sad about the child star trajectory. And we all know what her parents were like. And my source says that she's full of remorse and that prison life has, and I quote, changed her for the better. Plus, I have intel that she just signed on as the lead for Emmanuel Rivera's new indie, and we know how that transforms careers. I'm sorry, I know it's not my place to pitch stories, but I feel like it's something worth mentioning.
So the evolution of Nora. And this could be an exclusive?
Exclusive.
This could be our feature.
I like it.
Her Rise of the Phoenix story is similar to ours as a magazine. Almost folding, right, in 2004, only to wind up one of America's top style mags. Yes, follow up with this, David.
Okay.
Yes. Excellent, David.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, guys, is Mary okay? Have you talked to her?
Define okay. She's in the hospital.
Wow.
Oh, I can't believe this. Are you gonna visit her?
After work.
Well, hey, please give her my best. I mean, you know, I'm trying to keep it straight because I'm the new guy and all, but it's kind of shaking me up a bit.
She'll be fine.
Our Mary's a tough cookie.
Good.
Charles and Ian head off. Later, Suzanne sits down with David over coffee on the terrace.
Sorry, it's taken me a few days and an assault to welcome you on board with coffee. You must have an interesting first impression of Style Harmony.
No, not at all. It takes a lot more than that to faze me. You know, to be honest with you, I have had my eyes on your magazine since I graduated.
Even from your New York skyrise office at the country's biggest health mag?
Well, it may seem odd, but absolutely. You know, it's not about the publication so much as the people behind it for me. And I've been a big fan of yours for years.
You have?
I have. You know, I've always wanted to be in your position. I really want to run my own magazine someday. And yeah, I'm here, you know, just trying to learn everything. And, you know, to be honest with you, sometimes I feel like a bit of a fraud pushing my way to the top. But I'm positive that I'm in the right place.
Well, you seem like you're off to a good start. I started at the bottom. I mean, we all have. My first column was in the Los Angeles Daily Observer. I think it was read by maybe 8 people total. Although one of my favorite pieces was The Stranger on a Train.
The social anxiety of public transport. Have we mutually contracted to avoid eye contact? Or if we avoid it, am I breaking some superior social contract that I never agreed to sign?
That must have been published about 10 years ago.
Yeah. I was a shy kid. I spent most of my teenage years reading and learning about anything that I could. I was pretty lame.
No, it's not lame. Your parents must be very proud.
Well, my father was. My mother died when I was born.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Well, you have a 2 o'clock. We better get going.
Oh, right. Remind me how I went this long without an assistant.
She rushes in and David scoops up the coffee mugs. There's a new article on his computer screen entitled, Why Your Past is the Servant to Your Future's King.
David, what can I do for you?
I was wondering if I can walk you to your car tonight.
I don't mean to sound like an old man, but, I'm a little uncomfortable with you walking alone after what happened to Mary.
You have a point. Thank you.
He walks with her across the parking lot.
Better safe than sorry.
Yes, of course. Thank you for walking me to my car.
You're welcome. Like I said, I'm at your disposal. I'm never leaving.
What?
I said I better get leaving.
Get home safe, okay?
Yeah. Night.
Night.
Robert's cooking dinner when she gets home.
Oh, hey, babe, welcome home. How are you?
Good.
Guess what? I made everyone's favorite, lasagna. Mm.
So, it looks like we booked Nora Patters for our anniversary feature story.
No way, that's awesome. Congrats. Wait, Calista, didn't you have a poster of her?
Yeah, when I was like 13.
Well, I think she'll be an interesting story. She seems like she's been through a lot. And we'll need a lot of graphics arranged celebrating her past work. Calista, I thought you could come to the office with some ideas.
I'll pass. Can I be excused?
Hey, we haven't even eaten yet. And there's dessert. I picked up your favorite raspberry cheesecake on my way home.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't want any.
Sit down until after family dinner.
Dougie, dump me, okay? So excuse me if dessert isn't my top priority right now.
Sweetheart, I'm sorry. Then wouldn't you care anyway? You hated him. You're probably happy he dumped me.
That is not true. You know what? This is all your fault. He would never have broken up with me if he hadn't banned him from this house like I'm some kind of 12-year-old. Don't you have work to get to?
Calista storms out.
You're not gonna help me?
Wow.
Suzanne takes a slug from a large glass of wine.
Well, let's eat.
Great.
Yeah, so apparently he broke up with Calista for some junior he'd been cheating on her with.
I didn't like that guy anyway.
You okay, babe?
Yeah, I'm fine. A staff member was attacked the other day, you know that. And it's just really stressful at work because we have this 50th anniversary edition and I can't seem to close. And my assistant has been acting strangely.
How so?
I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. He got weirdly close to me today, and I thought I heard him say something, and maybe I'm just hearing things. I think he's overly fond of me or something.
Well, I mean, come on, babe. You're beautiful, successful, at the top of your field. What kid's not gonna have a crush on you, right?
Really? That's how you're gonna help me?
I'm serious.
Go to sleep.
Try.
Your lunch is at Perch.
Perch?
Nora picked it. I typed the address into your GPS.
Okay, and she knows who to look for?
No, she knows everything. And she's probably gonna enter the restaurant via the back door to avoid paparazzi.
Great, because I'm not feeling photo ready today.
In the restaurant.
The intent is to focus on your positive steps forward, your life changes, transformations, and I assure you that the exclusive will be positive for your image.
Great. It's important to me that we don't talk about Diane.
Your mother?
Yes. She's a compulsive liar who uses me for money. She'll probably tell you I'm dating some guy in a boy band. I'm not. Let's make sure all communication goes through me from now on.
Of course.
I want you to highlight the maturity of my role in Echo. I aged myself up by 15 years.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I am on a self-development crusade. You can quote me on that. Almost killing someone was a huge wake-up call for me, and I hate myself for it. I can't rewrite the past, but I can make sure something like that never happens again. I have a thing I gotta be at.
Okay, absolutely. It's good to be busy. Are you sure you don't want to go through the back door to the
paparazzi?
You're
nobody unless somebody wants your picture.
Nora walks to the paparazzi.
Nora, thank you so much for being part of this Al Harmony
please,
team.
Please, please, give a girl some space. Oh, and right side only. Thank you.
Suzanne sees Robert kissing another woman.
You were saying?
Yeah. Sorry.
Ah, so great to meet you.
So great to meet you. Okay. I look forward to our interview.
Totally, me too.
Okay.
Bye, babe.
Bye.
Please.
Back in her office, she struggles to comprehend what she's seen and paces, holding her temples. Suddenly she loses her temper and swipes everything from her desk. She tries to compose herself, but another bout of rage hits her and she bared her teeth.
Stay out!
Sitting on the edge of her desk, her breath quickens until she gives way to sobs and breaks down. David takes a call for her.
Suzanne Austin's office?
We need Suzanne in the conference room now.
Janet, yeah, she's just finishing up a phone call with her daughter's school right now, and I'll have her meet you in the conference room.
Okay.
Let's go.
At Adeline Rose, we promote freedom, enjoyment of life, not unlike Style Harmony, engaging the human drive to do what makes them happy.
At the expense of their loved ones.
Well, of course, our customer is not the loved one. It's quite often the one who feels unloved.
Ah, okay. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but you take advantage of weakness to exploit the sanctity of marriage.
Suzanne, we're here to discuss a potential partnership with Adeline Rose and Style Harmony, not to get into any kind of a moral debate.
Our business is grounded on the scientifically established fact that monogamy is an unnatural state. Affairs will happen anyway. Our app is merely an outlet for our very, very large and lucrative customer base.
Do you have a conscience? How do you sleep at night?
Soundly. Business is business.
If that's what you want to call it.
Perhaps Adeline Rose as an advertiser could launch that discussion. And Style Harmony, as receiver of those funds, could easily draw an argument about snatching back from the app that snatches from morality. I think this would draw a lot of attention to both Style Harmony and to Adeline Rose. Ladies?
Works for me.
I look forward to working with you.
Robert's playing his guitar at home.
Dad?
Hey.
You look like crap. Are you okay?
Yeah, I don't know.
I love you.
I love you too, sweetie.
Is this about you and Mom? I feel like all you guys do is fight these days. Look, if you're not happy, don't feel like you have to stay together because of me.
Oh, no, honey. Listen, I need you to understand something. Your mom is the only woman who I've ever loved. She's the love of my life. I can't imagine it without her.
I love you.
Callista smiles and gives her dad a hug.
Yeah. I love you too. Callista?
Yeah.
The beer.
Right.
Yeah. Nice try.
You need to check your personal opinions at the door. You cannot alienate potential advertisers. I mean, what happened in that Adeline Rose meeting? I mean, it could just be so detrimental for the magazine. You know, we're counting on their advice, Suzanne.
It was unprofessional of me, okay? I just... You know what? I'll call him to apologize.
No, I'll fix it. Are you okay? I'm here as your boss, but... I think you know I'm your friend.
Everything's fine. Thank you.
Are you doing your anger exercises?
Of course I am.
Well, I wish I could tell.
Putting on her sunglasses, Janet walks out. Meanwhile, David takes a call.
Suzanne Austin's office. Oh, hi, Robert. Your wife's actually not available right now. Can I have her call you back?
Sure.
Have a great day.
Any calls for me?
No, none. It seems like you've had a long and stressful day. Look, I don't want to step out of line, but, would you like to grab a drink after work to decompress?
Sure. I think I need it.
David looks pleased with himself and flips open his laptop to write on the Snark website. Later, they're in a bar with a neon cocktail on the sign outside.
Listen, about the Adeline Rose meeting, I behaved unprofessionally, and I'm ashamed that you saw that.
No. Don't worry about it. To be honest with you, I find that concept repulsive as well. I mean, why stay married to someone if you just want to cheat on them? Everything okay?
Yeah, everything's fine. Thank you. Cheers.
Cheers.
I definitely needed that.
I thought you did.
You know what's funny? The timing today, you know, about an hour before the meeting, my husband was kissing a woman that wasn't me. Life's weird like that, isn't it?
Wow, I'm so sorry.
A stunning brunette, beautiful and floaty like a music video.
David studies Suzanne as she takes another sip of her drink.
You know, I had a girlfriend that cheated on me with my best friend. It wasn't a one-off either. I found out that they were seeing each other for months by the time I caught them.
Sorry.
Yeah. Life goes on.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, well, I don't get why anybody would want to cheat on you. Really, you are the most beautiful, intelligent woman I have ever met.
Well, thank you, but I definitely have my faults. I am not a perfect wife or mother. I work a lot, probably too much. And I have a little bit of a temper, little one.
Well, faults and all, I would never cheat on you.
Thanks.
Really, I mean, it's tough to balance work and family and a relationship. And the anger thing, that's manageable. It's actually not your fault. It's a chemical imbalance. Have you ever thought about seeing a therapist?
I saw a therapist. I thought it was working, but I don't know. I mean, the more I go, the more I feel like I need it.
Well, stick with it. Therapy takes time, but it's worthwhile.
Where'd you get all this wisdom?
The whiskey.
You know what relieves stress? Whiskey.
And sex.
Excuse me, can I get another one?
They smile at each other flirtatiously. Knocking back more whiskey, they dance in the space behind their bar stools. David twirls her and takes her in his arms, dipping her backwards as she laughs. They finish up slow dancing.
You're beautiful.
He kisses her very tenderly and she starts to respond, then pulls back. Changing her mind, she smiles and pulls him into her, kissing him passionately. They stagger out into the street. Suzanne hangs onto him as she's unsteady on her feet. He props her against a wall to steady her, kissing her again. Sweeping her up into his arms, he carries her down the street as she arches her back and stretches out. In Suzanne's office, they're stripped to their underwear. She pushes the muscular young man down on the couch and straddles him, holding him down by the wrists. The camera sweeps over a framed photo of dark-haired Callista as he grabs Suzanne around the waist and flips her onto her back. She lays back, closes her eyes and lifts her arms over her head as he works his way down her body. Next morning, he's writing a piece for the Snark entitled Hot Sex with That Boss. How to Tame an Alpha in Bed. Suzanne wakes up on the pull-out couch. She sits up, and for a moment has no idea where she is, until she has a flashback. David breezes in.
Good morning. You got a breakfast meeting with Glamcrew regarding their feature, followed by a luncheon with the head of Capriati Equities. You got the office shower running. It should be perfect by now.
Last night was a mistake. I have to go home. Reschedule my meetings for this morning.
She pushes past David coldly and leaves. Driving home and sneaking in the back door, Robert collars her immediately.
Where the hell have you been?
None of your business.
I'm serious, Suzanne. Where were you?
Kissing random strangers.
That's not funny.
If you love me, you wouldn't keep cheating on me with that hippie whore.
Suzanne, what the hell are you talking about?
Tell me, Robert. Tell me, how long have you been seeing her this time?
Who, Ellie?
Yes, I saw you kissing her yesterday.
Oh, come on. I didn't kiss her. She kissed me.
Oh, God, you're lying. Oh, stop, okay? You are incapable of telling me the truth.
How can we move on if you keep reliving the past?
Because you're the one who keeps making the same mistake. I can't trust you anymore. I want a divorce.
No, no, we are not getting a divorce, and please don't walk away from me.
It's over, Robert.
Are you seeing someone else? Okay, look, I know I haven't been the most faithful husband, but I love you, and I believe in us.
Yeah, well, actions speak louder than words.
Oh, my God, stop fighting.
I will go to therapy.
You hate therapy.
I'm serious this time, Suzanne. I will make the appointment. I will go every day. We can go together every day.
I gotta get to school.
Please, I will do anything.
You need to get your daughter to school.
She seems to soften slightly. Arriving back in her office, David's on her laptop.
Just installing some antivirus software.
I'm transferring you to another desk.
Completely unnecessary. We're two consenting adults, and I had an amazing time with you last night. Should you ever be in need of my services again?
Don't be absurd. It's absolutely inappropriate for us to be working together. I'm making arrangements for you in the fashion department.
He looks at her.
No.
Excuse me?
I'm opting to stay as your assistant.
I didn't give you a choice.
Then I'll give you one. Move me, and I'll make sure that everybody's aware of your reasoning.
And it will be your word against mine.
Oh, what's this?
A video.
Bad, bad boy.
Screw you.
The footage is of Suzanne drunk in the bar.
So when are you going to end things with Robert? Because I know that he hasn't been faithful to you.
I'd appreciate it if you left my office. I have work to do.
David looks at her calmly and takes his time standing up. Buttoning up the jacket on his immaculate suit, he hits the return button on her laptop before strolling out. Watching him go, Suzanne tries to keep her frustration under control. She sits at her desk and rubs her temples with her fingertips.
What?
I've got Nora Patters on line 3 for you.
Taking a deep breath, she composes herself.
Hi there, Nora. Just give me a moment. I'm pulling up the document so we can confirm our interview contacts for your cover story. Okay, here it is.
The files are empty.
The first topic we'd like to address is your recent exit from jail and how you felt stepping out into the public for the first time. Okay? Great. And then we'd like to get into how you overcame the difficult step from childhood stardom to potential Oscar fame.
She busts the rest of the phone call and goes to confront David, smiling.
Did you delete my interview outline content?
I'm sorry, what?
Did you delete contents from the document that I prepared for my interview with Nora Patters?
No. I have no idea what you're talking about.
No? Because I'm pretty sure it was there in perfect condition before you got on my computer.
Okay, please keep your voice down with me. I mean, I'm sensing some anger in your tone.
Oh, I'll raise my voice, all right, you little twit. I know you're lying to me. You ruined my call and you almost embarrassed me in front of a client. Just who the hell do you think you're messing with? I will end you. Do you hear me? End you.
Other people in the office watch as she threatens him. Turning back to his desk, he raises his eyebrows to his colleagues. Returning to her office, Suzanne rests against her desk for a moment, but her laptop springs into life. Footage of their encounter fills the screen, perfectly shot from a camera opposite the couch. She slams the laptop shut. Janet sees David.
David.
That was highly inappropriate behavior by Suzanne, and I want to apologize.
Oh, it's totally okay. She's under a lot of stress. I can't take it personally.
Has she behaved aggressively toward you before?
No, of course not.
David?
Okay, yes, a couple of times, but please don't say anything to her. It'll only make it worse.
I understand. I'm committed to maintaining a healthy workplace, so I will sort it out. I will sort it out, David.
Another day in another article, this one entitled, Turning the Tables on Those Who Disrespect You. Suzanne taps a pack of cigarettes and puts one in her mouth. She's about to light it but changes her mind and phones her daughter.
Callista, sweetheart, hi. Listen, I know you're not my biggest fan right now, but I wanted to let you know the offer to intern here is still open. I could really use an ally here right now. Anyway, I hope your day at school is good. Just call me when you can. I love you, honey.
David visits a cafeteria and sits next to Callista.
That's very Rembrandt.
Oh, thanks. He's actually one of my biggest inspirations.
Oh. Well, you're doing him an honor. Very talented.
Thank you. So, how do you know about art?
Oh, I don't really. Just working for a magazine, you learn new things.
You work for a magazine? Which one?
Oh, it's called Style Harmony. I didn't know that would be up your alley.
No, it's not. It's just that my mom works there. She's the managing editor.
Oh, wait, your mom's Suzanne Austin? Wait, so you must be Callista.
Oh, how do you know that?
Oh, sorry, that probably sounds weird. We actually spoke on the phone. I'm David, Suzanne's assistant.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry, you're not what I pictured.
What did you picture?
I don't know.
Balding,
dorky guy with Harry Potter glasses?
No, not at all.
Probably a little bit.
Okay, yeah, a little bit.
Wow, you look so much like your mother. It's a compliment.
Thanks.
Can I look at your work?
Yeah, sure.
You know, we're having a hard time figuring out the graphics for the new anniversary edition. And you're really talented. You should think about interning at Style Harmony. Maybe you could help us out, provide some fresh ideas.
Hey, Curtis, I know you, right?
Well, I'm sorry. I think you're mistaking me for someone else.
Oh, sorry, man.
That was weird.
Yeah, well, I have a common face. It actually happens quite a bit.
You don't have a common face.
Well, thank you. We should really think about it, though. It'd be nice to see you around the office.
David leaves and Callista stares after him, clearly taken with a handsome young man. Mary comes back to work on crutches and goes to Suzanne's office.
Hey, you got a minute?
Mary, I'm so glad you're back. Yes.
David sees her as she struggles in with her crutches and flops on the couch.
Sorry about that.
Awesome. You okay?
Yep.
Hopping around on one foot is
not easy.
Lots of fun.
What's going on?
What do you think about David?
Why do you ask?
I don't want to start any drama, but I feel like he's hiding something.
Vibe. He said he grew up in Greendale, which is right near my hometown.
Said he lived near a skate park, but I did some research and there is no skate park in Greendale.
Well, maybe there used to be one.
No, I don't remember there ever being one.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you coming to me with your concerns, and I will keep a very close eye on David. And in the meantime, I want you to focus on getting better, please.
Right.
Okay. Think you can do that for me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
You mind if I sit?
No, not at all. How are you feeling?
Amazing, clearly.
No. But did they get any leads on who was responsible?
Oh, they found the guy's truck, but it had been stolen.
Oh, let's hope that they get him.
Mm-hmm. So, listen, I was thinking, you and I probably know a bunch of the same people. Where'd you go to high school? I went to the Greendale Academy for Girls.
I went to Bexley.
Oh, Bexley. Didn't really hang out with a lot of guys from there. What year did you graduate?
2008. I really gotta get back to the desk. Got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, sure. Do you, buddy.
Let's hope nothing else bad happens to you.
David's been eavesdropping on the intercom and has heard the conversation between Mary and Suzanne. Later, in her apartment, Mary starts Googling stuff about David. She looks up his high school graduating class and sees a picture of a different David Barinas.
What the? Who the hell are you?
Putting down the laptop, she picks up her phone.
Hey, is Suzanne still in the office?
Suddenly, someone in a black hoodie grabs her from behind. She hits him with one of her crutches and staggers to the kitchen area. Throwing a bottle at him, she hobbles into the bathroom and tries to close the door, but he forces his way in. The camera shows her laptop. She was looking at the high school photo of the other David Barinas.
Oh, yeah, I remember. We were 1 year into dating, and I left school early to surprise him. And the front door was open, and I went inside and saw his feet hanging over the couch. And just as I went to sneak up on him, I noticed a pair of red heels sitting on the floor. Not mine. And then I saw her under the covers with Robert, and she got up and ran so quickly she left her red heels on the floor.
And have these infidelities continued?
There was one woman, Ellie.
I went back to her numerous times. Suzanne already knows this. I put an end to it. It's in the past.
Would you like to talk a little about the most recent situation that upset your wife?
There is no recent situation. The woman couldn't take a hint. She tried to kiss me, I pushed her away, and that's all there is to it.
You're lying. You're always lying. Robert, why do you think you went back to Ellie more than once?
I don't know. We hung out, we had fun. She made me feel like I was needed, and it felt good.
Do you feel Suzanne doesn't need you?
Suzanne has made it very clear that she doesn't need me. I remember being on a family vacation years ago, and I think I didn't do the dishes or something like that. And I admit I'm not good at that sort of stuff, but Suzanne said she was gonna count to three, and if the dishes weren't done, then her and Callista were gonna go snorkeling without me.
That trip was over 10 years ago.
Do you feel like you're an equal partner in the relationship?
My wife runs a very popular magazine. She makes more money in a year than I can imagine making in my entire life. People that don't even know her respect her. And me? My most relevant skill is that I can cook. I did, however, write a great song once, and that did buy her house. But that was then, and now I feel like I have no value in life, no purpose in life.
What about your daughter? You're of value to her.
Callista looks up to you so much.
She definitely is my ray of sunshine. Callista and me, we definitely fell from the same tree.
Do you ever put time aside for the two of you to just reconnect as a couple?
No, but I think that's a great idea. I would love to do that, date night. But work keeps her away.
Honey, I work to pay our bills and to keep living the way we live. I know you're not happy, I know. But the more you mope, the more apathetic you get, and the angrier I get, and the less time I want to spend with you. I know you're depressed, and I want to try and help you, but you have to want to help yourself. And you have to be invested in this relationship and try to find purpose in your life. But I will tell you this, I will not stick around if you cheat on me again. I will not do that to myself. And we need to set a better example for Callista.
You're right. And I need you to try and find more time for us, so I can rebuild your trust. Please, can we do that?
Okay.
They look at each other with tear-filled eyes. David's on the phone.
Suzanne, hi. I have a list of social media blasts that you need to approve before I send out. You ready?
Sure. Shoot.
Alrighty. Nothing more grueling than a fitness session with @JuliaGainsford. Our whole office is getting on board. See her in this month's issue of #Harmony.
Great.
Great. Less than 1 month until our #anniversary edition. Are you as excited as we are? #Harmony turns 50.
Sounds great.
Alrighty. You know, then as usual, we'll share messages, add encouraging comments about our upcoming featured celebrities.
That all works.
Alright, perfect.
David looks pleased with himself as he hangs up. Callista's working in the office.
So, maybe you could place the corresponding images side by side vertically instead on the left, so the eye is drawn in with the lines.
Oh, that's a great idea.
What do you think about that?
I actually like it. She's doing really well. Looks like a young version of you.
I don't want you anywhere near my daughter.
Well, being as Callista has an internship here, it's gonna be hard to avoid.
Suzanne glares at him.
Hey, Janet.
What do you mean?
Nora got highly intoxicated this morning before she went on the GMW appearance.
And she spent the entire time on the interview
ranting and raving about how rehab was for suckers and how her parents and all parents should just let their kids enjoy their lives. And, I quote, do all the drugs that they want.
Oh, my God.
And we endorsed her. How in the world could you listen to her go out like that for
us? You have got to be kidding me.
You know what, kids? Do whatever the f*** you want. All the drugs you want. Anything. Whatever puts a smile on your dial. Cocaine? Yummy. Alcohol? Yay! I say get the f***ing party started.
You let tweets go out unapproved?
No. I approve them remotely.
It's your job to be on top of this kind of thing, Suzanne.
Fix it. You did this.
Mom.
Calista?
Well, you approved it. I told you on the phone along with the others. I thought you wanted it to go up.
Why would I approve something like that?
Well, I don't know. You're right. I messed up, and I'm going to fix it. I'm going to prepare a statement of defense right now.
No. No.
Mom!
Calista, please. Calista! Calista!
She storms out.
You have done enough already. Never. In my history as an editor, have I done anything remotely inappropriate or irresponsible when it comes to what I promote, especially when it comes to drugs and teenagers. Are you kidding me? It goes against my ethics. And why? Why would I approve something like that if I knew what she had said? And why didn't you tell me Nora was drunk at GMW?
Well, I thought you'd seen the interview. Well, it's on your schedule to watch it every morning.
You knew where I was this morning. You knew. You... Oh, my God.
Suzanne rushes from the room. David looks around, quietly confident, and later he comforts Calista in the lobby.
I'm sorry you had to see that. I'm
sorry she flipped out on you like that.
No, it's fine. Yeah, it's, a stressful environment, and this is a big issue.
She's the same at home, believe me.
She gets mad at you like that at home?
Sometimes. And with my dad, it's...
Oh, I'm sorry. You okay?
Yeah, thanks. Oh, Dad.
Hi, sweetie.
Hey.
You must be Mr. Austin. It's a pleasure to meet you, sir. I'm David, Suzanne's assistant.
Yeah, I believe Suzanne has mentioned you.
Well, all good things, I hope.
You ready to go home, sweetheart?
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, man.
You too, sir. Good job today.
Bye.
He gives Calista a wide smile and it drops as soon as she leaves. Janet comes into Suzanne's office.
Disappointed I am in your performance just now, Suzanne. I mean, in front of the entire office and your teenage daughter. I mean, David's barely been here a month, and you tore him to shreds.
I don't want to sound like I'm making excuses, but David...
David, don't blame your assistant, Suzanne.
I think David's doing this to me on purpose.
Doing what?
Everything. Setting me up, pushing my buttons. I don't know, but I'm telling you, Janet.
What reason would he have to behave like that? All right. Then I'd like you to consider that possibly you're overanalyzing. We have bigger problems now.
Yes, we have. And I've thought of a way to rectify this. We run a piece that promotes a better understanding of people with substance abuse problems, featuring a plethora of recovered celebrities that can shed some light on Nora's behavior. Now, I don't condone her behavior. But we need to understand that this is an illness, and oftentimes it's not their fault. It's a chemical imbalance.
that could actually work. Regardless, I need you to take some time off.
What? For this one thing? It's so easy to fix.
No, Suzanne, not over this one issue. You've had numerous outbursts. I've had complaints from staff members. You need to take some time for yourself, and you need to get your anger issues and your stress levels under control. I've already arranged for Amber Barnett to replace you while you're gone.
The lead editor of Lolene? Wow. I guess you've already made up your mind.
Detective Westwood is here to see you.
Thank you, David.
Detective?
Why don't you stay here? Mary O'Connor was found dead in her apartment this morning.
Oh, my God.
She was beaten to death. Mary worked under Suzanne, correct? Was she a good employee?
She was very good at her job.
Who were some of her closest friends in the office?
She was close with Ian Simpson. They spent a lot of time together outside the office.
Can you think of any reason why someone would have done this to her?
No.
No enemies at all that you know of?
Mary spoke her mind bluntly. So she basically had enemies basically everywhere she went. That was her thing. That's why I loved her.
Would you say Mary was a good employee?
Of course, I only hire good people.
Did she ever cause any trouble with any of the other employees?
No more than the others. They're competitive.
You ever have to reprimand her?
Yes, I did. Mary could overstep her bounds and hold grudges against people who slighted her.
It's been a bit of a rough start for you here at Stellharmony, hasn't it?
I guess it has. What happened to Mary is an absolute tragedy.
Were you guys friends?
Oh, we didn't exactly hang out together socially, but you know, we were always friendly at work. To be honest with you, I think she had a bit of a crush on me.
Some people think that Mary was a troublemaker. Did she ever make any trouble for you?
No, not really. You know, Mary once mentioned something about an online stalker. She didn't really go into details, but it seems like something worth looking into.
David looks nonplussed. Packing up her desk, Suzanne throws her possessions into a documents box in a temper, slamming down a pot of pens and stopping briefly to gaze at a framed photo. She carries her box out of her office. David's away from his desk and has left his laptop open, so she sneaks a look. He's written a new post entitled, "How Getting What You Want Is the New Black."
Enjoying the read?
You're behind the snark?
I've heard of it. I'm impressed. But no, it's not mine. I'm just a measly contributor.
And you write things like that?
Well, I was inspired by your advice. Write what you know.
I want you to stay out of my life. And stay the hell away from my daughter.
Glaring at David, she grabs her box of things and storms out of the building. Janet's on the stairs and watches her go. In the parking lot, she reverses into David's car.
Oh, damn it!
Getting out, she glances at his broken side light on the ground, pushing him in the chest as people watch.
That was completely intentional.
Oh, I am so, so sorry.
Cut the crap, David. Just cut it.
You know what? I'm gonna have to report this.
I know you're screwing with me, and I'm gonna make sure you don't get away with it.
Snatching the light from him, she throws it down. As As she takes out her frustrations on her punch bag in the garage, Robert and Callista arrive home.
I think it's dead now, Mom.
Got you a salad, babe. Come on in, take a break.
Okay.
David waits in his car, poised with his phone.
Mary was murdered.
Murdered?
She sits with Robert over dinner.
I know.
Sweetheart, you need to talk to me.
I don't trust my assistant. I do not trust David.
I don't get it. He seemed like a decent guy when I met him. Sweetie, you're gonna give yourself a breakdown.
He's driving me crazy.
He's texting Callista saying he'll come over and get her because he's in the area.
I gotta get some air.
Whoa, where are you going?
Out! We're out!
David pulls up outside and she hops in his car. Suzanne sees them leave and gets on the phone right away.
What the hell's going on here?
Callista's with David.
You gotta be kidding.
Damn it, pick up.
So where are we going?
Oh, you'll see. It's a surprise. I know just the place.
He puts a hand on her shoulder as she gazes at him.
I don't understand why you have such a problem with this guy. He seems like such a huge step up from Dougie.
Pick up.
Why are you freaking out? What is going on?
I don't want our daughter in that sleazy low-life car.
All right, what the hell are you not telling me? You slept with your assistant.
It was a mistake.
I asked you, Suzanne. I asked you and you said no. You lied to me. And you had me thinking I was the bad guy this entire time when you've been messing around.
Once. But this isn't about you right now. I am seriously worried that David's been watching us. Not just me, all of us. And now Callista is with him.
You think he's stalking us? So you slept with your own stalker. And now our daughter has a crush on him. You're a real class act, you know that?
Robert, you're not listening. I think David is out to get us. Me, you, Callista, and I don't know what his limits are, and I'm scared.
Yeah, well, I just think you're being overly paranoid.
Robert!
I'm going for a run.
David's driven to a high point over the city. As he waits in the car, Callista takes a couple of photos of the nighttime view. Meanwhile, Suzanne sits at home with a glass of wine and her laptop. She Googles the name David Barinas and pictures of different men come up.
Yeah, that's really pretty.
David looks at the photos.
Well, I better get you home.
Okay.
Suzanne pours herself another glass and drinks it.
Callista, honey. Wait. I need you to listen to me. I need you to stay away from David. He is trying to ruin my life.
Oh, like you've ruined everyone else's.
He's bad news. He's obsessed.
I don't believe you.
Okay, wait, please. I'm telling you the truth. I caught him writing crazy things online, a website called The Snark, and I know he is writing about me.
You're delusional. You're not the object of everyone's obsession.
Callista stomps into her bedroom and hurls her bag on the bed. Checking her phone, she already has a text from David and she asks when she can see him again. He says anytime and give her his address. Opening her laptop, she looks up David Barinas. David's outside the house when Robert gets back from his run and collars him.
Robert! Hey! I thought that was you.
Listen to me, David. I don't know what kind of games you're playing. If you go anywhere near my family again, I'll kill you.
Oh, apparently your family really likes me.
You screwed my wife and now you're smiling in my face like it's nothing?
Hey, it's not my fault you can't satisfy your wife. I guess one-hit wonder musicians aren't that much of a turn-on because I had her begging for more.
Robert punches him and David laughs. He lunges at him with a tire iron, knocking him unconscious with one blow. He then continues to savagely beat him around the head until it's a bloody pulp. The next morning, Suzanne has fallen asleep on the couch.
Mom!
As Suzanne stirs, Callista opens the door.
Can I help you?
Yes, I'm Detective Westwood. Can I come inside?
Yeah, come in.
Thank you.
Hi.
Can I sit down?
Sure. What's going on?
I'm here to inform you that your husband, Robert Austin, was found dead.
What?
I am so sorry, Mrs. Austin.
Oh, my God.
Look, it's my duty to ask you where you were last night.
I was here. I had a little bit to drink, and I fell asleep early.
Do you black out when you drink?
No, I don't.
What about your marriage? Were you happy in your marriage?
Why would you ask me that? I was here all night.
Can anybody confirm that?
Yes.
Okay, look, I'm gonna just ask you one more question. And I'll leave you in peace. Is there anybody that you know of that could have done this?
Yes. David. David Burring is my assistant. Oh. Oh, there's no way David would have killed Dad. Callista. Callista, wait.
Leave me alone!
Baby, come back, please!
Why do you think it was David?
I just know. Okay, I know.
Look, don't leave anywhere. You're probably gonna need an attorney.
Wait a minute, wait. David and I slept together. It was a one-night stand and I ended it immediately. But I think he's obsessed with me and my family. This is no coincidence. I'm telling you, David killed my husband.
Later, she's in the morgue, holding a hand to her mouth as a mortician unzips a body bag. Stepping forward, she looks at Robert's body. The detectives with Janet.
How do you think Suzanne is taking this?
She'll be hurting. Badly. She doesn't deserve this.
Why was she suspended from Style Harmony?
Look, she was under stress. I gave her a break.
I watched her smash her car into David's. Then she, like, went nuts on him. I think she even pushed him. It's crazy. First Mary, now this.
At the end of Robert's funeral, Suzanne stands with Callista and Janet and puts a single red rose on top of his coffin. Callista does the same. As they walk away, Robert's old girlfriend shows up and tries to talk to her, but Suzanne pushes her away. Janet ushers Suzanne away as David observes from a distance. Later, he's interviewed informally.
How familiar were you with Suzanne and her home life?
I know that Suzanne and Robert were in couples counseling.
I see. I heard there was an incident between you and Suzanne in the parking lot.
Suzanne rear-ended me out of nowhere. and then got really angry at me about it, which was confusing.
Well, why do you suppose that she had hostility towards you?
Oh, well, I mean, I made a mistake or two.
Did you and Suzanne have any kind of relationship outside the office?
Yes. Yes, we had a one-night stand. Silly, drunken, she was my boss and I was just seduced by the idea of it. But she's a married woman, was a married woman. And she started acting strange with me ever since.
How so?
Jealous, anxious, possessive. That night she told me that Robert was having an affair and that she wanted someone for her own. And I wasn't in a place to have something like that in my life, and she didn't take that very well.
I see.
No, but she's not the type to kill anyone, though.
Thank you for your time, Mr. Barinas.
Yeah. And please give Suzanne my condolences. I feel for her and her poor daughter.
As Suzanne sits staring into space, Janet tries to talk to her.
How are you? If there's anything I can do for you, Suzanne, you just tell me.
Where did his resume come from?
Who?
David. Where'd you find him?
He approached us, Suzanne, but you really need to give yourself a break on this.
Do you have the initial correspondence? Can you forward it to me? An address? Anything?
Listen to yourself, Suzanne.
Janet. If you're not gonna help me, get out.
Would you listen
get
to
out.
Yourself? Suzanne!
Janet gathers up her things.
I really don't understand you.
Suzanne works out on the punch bag. Elsewhere, David's doing pull-ups and has a flashback of catching his babysitter with her boyfriend when he was little. He goes to the door.
Oh, sorry, I can come back another time.
No, no, no. Don't be silly. Come on in.
Thanks.
Checking around, he ushers Callista inside.
Sit down.
As he was working out, he's wearing just his shorts.
How are you holding up?
Can't be in that house with her. She was so mean to him all the time. And now she wants to play the widow, the martyr.
And well, sometimes our parents aren't everything that we want them to be.
She lets her head fall forward and he tenderly brushes her hair from her face and lifts her chin.
You remind me so much of your mother at your age.
My mother?
Pictures of her that I've seen while studying for a style harmony.
Hey, I'm gonna get you a beer.
Sure, thanks.
Wiping her face, she glances around the sparsely furnished apartment as he returns with a beer.
There you go.
Thank you.
I'm gonna wash up. I'm filthy. I'll be right back.
She puts down the beer and glances at David's laptop, left on the couch next to her. Checking that he's safely in the shower, she opens it and sees footage of her and her parents having dinner, shot through the window. She puts it down and starts texting as David gets dressed. He comes back in with a towel draped around his shoulders.
You haven't touched your beer. Everything okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Suzanne gets half a text which says, "Mom, help, I'm at..."
Phone's going off.
Don't worry about it.
Oh, well, it keeps going off. It sounds like it's important.
Oh, no, 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 no. No, 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 it's probably my mom's looking for me.
Sounds important.
He sees a text saying, "I'm coming."
Hang on, baby. I'm coming.
He wags his finger and she lunges for the phone.
What do you want from me?
Your mother.
Carrying Callista into the bedroom, he knocks her out with one punch and ties her feet and hands. Making sure she's out cold, he gives her a slap before he leaves. Grabbing a baseball bat, Suzanne tracks Callista's phone to David's single-story apartment and heads over. Parking behind some trees, she takes the bat and goes up to the house. Sneaking around the back, she tries a door. It's not locked and she lets herself in. David's standing behind it and pushes it shut.
Come on in.
Where the hell's my daughter? You better not have hurt her.
She's fine.
Sit.
I'm not gonna hurt you. I'd never do that.
Clutching the bat, she sits down warily.
I want my daughter.
You promised me that you would never leave me. You said that I would always be your boyfriend.
He has the ring she gave him on a chain around his neck.
I believed you.
Oh my God. Curtis? I used to babysit you.
5 days a week, and then you left and you never came back.
I didn't have a choice. Your dad let me go.
And then I was dropped into the foster care system. It's too late for apologies now, Susie.
You were 7 years old. How do you still remember?
Because I loved you. And then you left me for some scum just like my real mother.
Whatever your mother did has nothing to do with me.
My mother left me. My father wanted nothing to do with me. But you weren't just my babysitter. You took care of me better than most mothers take care of their own children. You raised me. You loved me. I know that you did. And then you started having Robert come over. He took the attention away from me. And finally, You abandoned me.
And you haven't let go of that?
All these irrelevant people have gotten between us. Mary, Robert, your daughter. But I'm taking care of that now. You see? Soon it'll just be you and me again, finally. The way it should have always been. You know, it's always been about you, Susie. You know, I've been searching for you, that feeling that I get when I think about you and every ex-girlfriend, every lover, every victim. All I've ever wanted is you.
She whacks him with the bat.
Calypso! Mom! Mom!
Baby, are you okay?
Please, I'm so sorry. I need to believe you.
Oh, my God.
Photos of the family.
Sick bastard. You listen to me. You untie your feet and you stay here.
Mom!
She stalks back into the living room, but David's disappeared. Suddenly, he leaps out from the kitchen. He comes at her with a metal pole, knocking the baseball bat out of her hand. They grapple in the half-light and she kicks him, but he pins her to the floor.
I lost you. You're gonna lose Calypso.
I can't breathe.
It's your fault they're dead. Mary, Robert, I killed them for us.
Clarissa whacks him with the baseball bat.
Baby, are you okay? Yeah.
Oh my God. Oh my God, come on. Come on.
They escape, leaving David unconscious on the floor. Much later, Suzanne and Calista are standing on the cliffs in the sunshine, looking at the sea.
I never wanted to hurt you. Never wanted to cause pain, but I'm going downtown. I have to go in the rain. It's coming to me. Yes, calling out my name in the darkness. Taking me home again. I've been a fool, yeah, that's for sure. Hoping that I let you down. Left in the right to take me out and drag my name around town. But it's fool ain't fool enough not to realize you do anything.
Directed by Danny J. Boyle. Written by Sophie Tilson and Shanra Wakefield. A Cartel Pictures production. Produced by Stan Spry, Eric Woods. Executive Producer Carla Woods. Executive Producers Fernando Su, Stephanie Slack. Associate Producer Crystal Holt. Suzanne was played by Ariane Zucker, David Brando Eaton, Calista Natalie Lander, Robert George Stultz.